Through the book of Hebrews, what you see every chapter is amazing because the writer is writing to a group of people who are kind of struggling with the New Covenant and Old Covenant. And so by Old Covenant, we mean Old Testament is full of all these laws. I mean, whole book of laws, right? You do this, and you're good before God. Well, when Jesus came, he changed all that. He said there's a new covenant, and it's for everybody. It's not just for the Jews, it's for everybody. And so you have this group of people who they're struggling because they're like, well, we had the prophets, we had Moses, we had Abraham, we had all this. And so they're trying to see where Jesus fits. And right here in Hebrews, every chapter he's coming to you, he's like, hey, Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than this, he's greater than this prophet, this is greater than Moses. And he's making a statement. Every chapter he's making a statement, Jesus is greater than that. And then we get to chapter 5. In chapter 5, we're dealing with this issue of spiritual immaturity in a local church. No, none of you know what that means, because we don't have that. But if you did, that's what he's dealing with here in the chapter. And he tackles it head on. And he's talking about what you might call perpetual adolescence in the church. And basically, he tells us in chapter 5 something you love to hear. But he says, grow up. Grow up. And so a few years ago, this became real popular in our society. And a whole bunch of books came out dealing with this emerging problem in American culture of kids not wanting to grow up. And actually, it's a worldwide problem because there's actually one case, there's one case of a kid that didn't want to grow up. So there's an Italian man in his 30s who sued to force his parents to continue to support him. So imagine this, a 30-year-old man is suing mom and dad, said, you still have to support me. You hear something else crazy? He won. Are you kidding me? You talk about the man living in the bait. That's it. It's like, come on. He won, so mom and dad still got to support him. I'd love to know the details about how long and all that. But it's crazy. We see that all the time, right? We've seen people treat adults like kids. And at the same time, we see people treating kids like adults. And so instead of teaching young people to grow up, be self-sufficient, we're coddling them, babying them. You see this a lot. And the term helicopter parents, you ever heard that before? Again, I know none of you are that. But the helicopter parents are those that they hover over their children and not ever given enough freedom to make mistakes or learn on their own. They're always present, always there. What the writer of Hebrews is saying is something similar, that similar issues can exist in a church. And he's not happy what he sees with these infant Christians. Instead of growing up, instead of leading others, others say, you're drinking milk instead of eating solid food. I mean, it's a great metaphor to use here. It's very vivid, and it is insulting. Basically, the writer of Hebrews is saying to you this morning, stop being a baby. Don't you love that? Stop being a baby. Grow up. Your appetite for solid food, you need to develop this. And what caused this regression in the church? What led to this infantization? You're like, I made that up. I'm sorry, but you just go with me. Is they were dull of hearing, is what the author says. Verse 11 says this, Hebrews chapter 5, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you become dull of hearing. And so this morning I want to look at some consequences of being dull of hearing. Okay, now listen to me. Don't be dull of hearing this morning because you need to hear this. This is good stuff. And so the first consequence of being dull of hearing, it prevents understanding. It prevents understanding. He starts in verse 11. He says about this, okay? Well, what is this? Well, verses 1 through 10, he brings up some Old Testament priests, how they had to make sacrifices for themselves before they'd make sacrifices for others, because they sinned, they were human, so they'd have to cover themselves, then they would cover the people when they'd come to them. And he talked about how Jesus was superior to these Old Testament priests, these Old Testament sacrifices. And then he drops a little nugget in there, and he talks about a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And this is really cool. He drops in there, he tops this topic in there, And he wants to talk about this guy. And any Bible student would see that and was like, oh, what's he going to tell us about that? We want to learn about that. Because it's a phenomenal guy. He talks more about that in another chapter. But Melchizedek, he was only mentioned like twice in the Bible. Really obscure guy. Once he's talking to Abraham. And what you learn about that encounter was this was a king and a high priest. Which that never, like, you never get that. It's never, 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 right? And so what the writer's like, I want to show you Jesus through this guy. I want to explain Jesus through this. I want to show you how Jesus is greater in this. He said, but you're not ready. I got a lot to say. He said, I got much to say. It's hard to explain because you become dull of hearing. In other words, I want to talk to you about this. This awesome reference, this awesome comparison here. I want to explain this to you, but you can't understand it. You're dull of hearing. So let's talk about this dull of hearing and how to avoid it. The word dull they're using there in the Greek means lazy, sluggish, lax. And they weren't just dull, they were dull of hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. They were lazy with it. They were inattentive to it. They were unresponsive to it. They were neglecting it. Come on. We get that some ways, don't we? Sometimes we get that way. Sometimes we become lazy with the Word of God. Be honest. We become lazy with the Word of God. You know, it's one of those things you feel like you have to do or God's going to strike you down. And so you break open your Bible and you read one or two verses and your eyes glaze over and you start thinking about everything else. And we become lazy. Question, though, are you dull of hearing today? Has it become something that it's just, I know I'm supposed to do it, but I just don't know. And so it prevents understanding. He has this cool story to show him. He's like, you're not ready. Here's a second danger of being dull of hearing. It becomes unproductive. Becomes unproductive. Now, before we go to verse 12, I want to look at verse 11 one more time. It says, you become dull of hearing. In other words, there was a time when they were eager to learn. They were eager to learn the Word of God. They wanted to know what the Word of God. There was a time, and some of you remember that time, when you first got saved and you started reading the Word of God, it was awesome, right? You're reading these stories and the heroes of the faith and how all these God promises to us. And it was so cool, and we were passionate about the Word of God. But over time, something happened, and we become dull of hearing. And over time, we just... You know, it just, your hot streak's over on YouVersion, and what does it even matter? We become dull of hearing. The author says in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. And I don't know what time frame he's talking about, but by this time you ought to be teachers. Here's a quick caveat to this. Not everyone in the church needs to be able to preach a sermon. But we do have a general expectation in the Bible that all of us should be growing as disciples and making disciples. We have this expectation given to us in 1 Peter 3:15 that we should always be prepared to make a defense for anyone who asks you the reason for your hope. You need to be able to present them with a defense. This is why I have hope. Let me say this to you also. If you're a parent in this room, you're a teacher. Your grandparent in this room, your teacher. Moses said to the Israelites before they entered the promised land, and this is a scripture that I repeat to the parents when they come to baby dedication, when they come to dedicate their baby before the Lord. This is part of the scripture I read, Deuteronomy 6:5-7. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. What's it saying? All the time. It says you're supposed to be teaching. You're supposed to be in the Word of God all the time. When you go to bed, you're supposed to be talking about the Word of God. When you get up, you're supposed to be talking about the Word of God. When you rise, when you go, when you're driving, when you're getting home, when you're going to work, you're supposed to be in the Word of God, talking about the Word of God daily, constantly, to your children, to anybody who listens. This is one of our duties as Christian parents, to learn the Word of God well enough that we can convey its truth to our children. Think about it. To say, I'll let my son or daughter figure that out on their own, that's a dereliction of duty. No, you're not responsible for their salvation. Ultimately, that's between them and God, but you're responsible for teaching them the Word of God. So back to our text real quick. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. Saying we need the basic. We need to teach them the basics. We need to be reminded of the basics, the fundamental truths of faith. He's saying don't grow weary. Don't grow tired of these fundamentals, of the basics, because that's the foundation we build on. Because if you don't have these right, you're not building anything. It's like the fundamentals of basketball. If you can't dribble, you can't pass, you can't do any advanced stuff. Football is back on TV. Praise the Lord. Something to watch, right? Love this time of year. Yesterday, watching some games, there's one game, Notre Dame game. The Iowa team, or was it Iowa, Idaho? I don't know. One of them, they did this play where they did the trick play, as they call it. They hand it off, and all they're handing off back here, there's this one dude. He's just zooming. And they hit him. He's wide open. There's nobody by him. And what they're saying is these fundamentals. Can you imagine a coach when this dude in the front, if he can't block, guess what? And they're not doing that play. You got to be able to block. You got to be able to defend. You got to be able to do these basic things before you can do all the special stuff. And he's saying, this is where we're at. I got to keep coming back to the basics. Not that the basics are bad. There's nothing wrong with the basics. But he says that word again in verse 12. He said, but you need someone to teach you again. Again, the fundamentals are great. But what's happening is they're plowing the same ground again instead of planting new seeds. Because of their dullness, they're stuck in neutral instead of advancing forward. It's like the coach goes back to practice. Every practice, Monday morning, they get to practice. They're like, all right, we're going to practice blocking. Awesome, we got it. Tuesday, hey, we're going to practice blocking. They're not getting anywhere, are they? Because they're not advancing. They're going back to the same thing. That's what we're saying. We're stuck in this perpetual infanthood. Again, Hebrews is calling you a baby. Not my words, Hebrews' words. He's saying you're a baby, and it's stating the obvious, that's not a compliment. He said you need milk, not solid food. In other words, you're babies. It's time to move on. It's time to grow up. It's time to start eating solid food. Your childness is inhibiting your spiritual growth. Before we move on, I want to clarify a couple things analogy. Milk is good. If you're lactose intolerant, I am so sorry. You don't know the wonderful life of whole milk. It's a beautiful life. I love whole milk. I grew up on whole milk. You know, recently, I've been drinking a lot of protein shakes, and I get tired of water, so I wanted milk. And I thought, well, I'll try to be good. So I go to the store and I get this half gallon of skim milk. That stuff is of the devil, let me just tell you. It's like water and they put in white food coloring in it. What even is it? Like, why is the name milk in that word? I don't understand. It's just water. I remember the first time I had skim milk. It was a beautiful day. I stayed the night at a friend's house. Again, all I've known is whole milk my whole life. Stayed the night at a friend's house. We get up. He's doing cereal, so we pour the cereal. He pours the milk, and I take one bite, and I'm like, something's wrong with your milk. I'm only like 14 at the time. I don't know. I've never had this. I'm like, what is this? He goes, it's milk. I said, that's not milk. That's water. He goes, no, it's milk. Look, it says skim milk. I thought, oh, you poor guy. You just don't know the joys of whole milk. And so milk is a good thing, especially when you have a warm dessert or a cookie. Like, how can you not have milk and a cookie? They go together, right? So I'm not saying milk's a bad thing. Milk's a great thing. And there's a time for new Christians for milk. There's a time to feed on the fundamentals. There's a time for learning the ropes as a new Christian. There's a time to get these basics down. And there's nothing wrong with that. The issue here isn't milk for newborn babies. Milk for Christians. It's the issue is, you know, of course you're not going to give steak and potatoes to a newborn, even though it'll be fun, but you want it. It's not healthy for them. And so it's not, the issue is not milk for babies. It's Christian adults should be moving on to other things. Listen, if I ever invite you out for dinner, we go to a restaurant, I order a big juicy steak, and you order a cup of milk, one, I'll have jokes for life. But two, I'm never inviting you out again. I'm sorry. Because you wouldn't do that, would you? But part of the reason this author is so upset with the church is this childishness has stopped the spiritual growth. Their dullness of hearing has become unproductive. They should be teaching others by now. They should be discipling others by now, but they're not. They're not growing. They're not multiplying. But instead, they're in this vicious cycle of learning the same thing over and over and over again. When we have a job to do, Matthew 20:18, the Great Commission, you know this. And Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go. This is our commissioning verse. If you got Jesus in your heart, this is your commissioning verse. Go, therefore, and make disciples all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's your job. When you give your heart to Jesus, like you signed the contract, that's part of the job. The more we know, the more we want to learn, the more we grow in our faith. It's for our sake, but it's for the sake of others. The problem with the church is there's some that are stuck in this perpetual infanthood and it's missed opportunities. The business world calls this opportunity cost. Some of you know this. When you miss out on opportunities elsewhere, because you're too heavily invested in something else, we're missing out. That's the issue with the church, and the author of Hebrews is writing. So I want you to ask yourself these three questions this morning. How would you answer these three questions? Do I know the elementary truths of God's word well enough to help others? Do I know the elementary truths of God's word well enough to help each other? Have I become dull of hearing in my Christian world? The third question I want you to ask yourself this morning, am I growing learning Christian? Here's the third danger of dull of hearing. It leads to immaturity. Verse 13, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. And so Christian maturity is manifest in different ways, right? I mean, one way it's immaturity is manifested in an overt sinfulness, right? But another way immaturity is manifested is laziness and apathy concerning God's word. And that's why he's saying being unskilled in the words of righteousness. And the words of righteousness is his scripture references, and this is the only place in the Bible it talks about, referred to Bible as words of righteousness. So let's look at the word of righteousness. In verse Hebrews 4:12, it talks about the word. It says, for the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So it's saying like the Bible is likened to a sword, a powerful, sharp item. It's not a weapon that should be wielded by children. Why? Because a child needs to learn how to wield it. Any word of righteousness suggests Scripture helps us to produce righteousness in us. Not fake righteousness, Isaiah calls filthy rags, but true producing righteousness in us. And that righteousness comes from a transferred heart and someone who's being led by the Spirit. So new believers, they have to learn these things because they're unskilled. They're unskilled, inexperienced, immature in God's word. Again, for a young believer, that's okay. But the author's not addressing a young believer. He's addressing believers should be mature by now, and they're not. They should be eating steak, and they're drinking milk. And it's all because of the dullness of hearing. They aren't sensitive to the truth of God. They're stuck in this perpetual adolescence. Here's the fourth and last danger of being dull of hearing. It makes one undiscerning. It makes one undiscerning. If you ever have had a child or been around infants, you know this next statement to be true. A baby will put anything in their mouth. They don't care. I got a video to prove my point this morning.
Oh. Yuck. 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 London, yuck, yuck. London, yuck, ew, yuck. Yuck.
All right, be honest. How many of your kids have ate dog food? Let's go. Come on. That's right. That's right. It's nothing to be ashamed of. What they're saying, that you know this to be true, and just like a baby, an immature believer, listen to this, they will listen to any teaching on the internet, on television, on a podcast, or anything a friend says, and they'll take it just like dog food because they don't know no better. Oh, that sounds pretty good. That sounds like something I should do. I mean, I'm a good person. I believe in this, and I should do that. And well, that teaching, it sounds like something that would come out of the Bible. So, yeah, let's just take that. In reality, what these young believers, these immature believers, they're just eating dog food. And we're like, oh, don't do that. But like, hey, it sounds pretty good. It looks pretty good. But it's not true because they're not able to identify whether it's true to Scripture or not. Look at verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So what does the word of righteousness help us do? The word of God, it helps us discern good from evil. It helps us discern right from wrong. It helps us to mature as followers of Christ and grow in Christ's likeness. For those who know God's word, study his word, it becomes like a sanctified intuition, where we know instinctively how to distinguish good from evil. It's like an instinct. It's like an athlete. You know, I know how to do a layup because I've done thousands of them over my life. Well, I know how to do a layup. It's just instinct because I've done a bunch of them. Volleyball players, they know how to bump, set, spike because I've done a thousand of them. A musician. A pianist knows how to walk down from one key to another when switching keys. I remember Riley was learning to play the keyboard. When she had to take a song from one key to another key, like it was a job. Like to sit down and really, you know, really concentrate, really study. And now today, she can do it in her head. Why? Because she's got practice after practice after practice, a thousand times of practice. And it takes practice to become instinctive. And this is the goal of Scripture, that it takes practice to know the Word of God, to learn the Word of God. And when we practice, we're able to discern good from evil. We're able to discern truth from a lie. We're able to tell when we hear something, maybe a word preached or maybe a podcast or your buddy says, hey, you need to listen to this sermon. It was awesome. And you listen to it, and if you're trained, if you're mature, you'll be able to say, okay, I don't think that's right. I think that might be something a little off. I don't think that's the whole Scripture. I think they might be taken out of context. And we're able to discern those things because we're trained in them. And we practice them. And you're training your instinct to discern good from evil. You're training your powers of discernment. And there's this accumulative effect. The more you practice, the more you learn, right? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science. The more you spend time in God's Word, the more your discernment will be trained. Come on, some of you won't like to hear this, but the more you come to church, come on, the more you hear the Word of God, the more you'll be able to differentiate. I know you don't remember everything I preach about week from week. Studies show you get maybe 10% of it. I don't even remember what I preach week for week. But listen, don't underestimate the effect of coming to church on Sunday, of reading your scriptures every day, of singing these songs like we sang today about Jesus, because there's power in it. We're practicing the power of repetition and training. You know that last song we sang today? I love that song. That's a scripture verse made into a song. And we do this over and over and over again. And what it is, it's training for us that we're learning this. It's power in us that we're learning discernment. There's power in repetition and the training that comes with it. It's the same thing as there's power eating a healthy meal, right? Don't you love it? Somebody goes, I'm going on a diet. Well, Monday they eat a salad. Tuesday they weigh, like, what the junk? I'm not. It didn't work. But what is it? There's power in repeatedly eating a good meal. You know, I can't remember every good meal I ever ate, but I can see the effects of a healthy diet. And that's what we're talking about this morning. There's something about this repetition. Training ourselves to discern good from evil. Why? Because we live in a world abandoned their moral values. In our world we live in, the conclusion for many is just do whatever you want and don't judge nobody. The problem is the good is derived from something other than Scripture in our world today. And people are calling that which is good evil and that which is evil good. We know that. Essentially, we're living in Isaiah 5:20 world. Let me read you Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I'm telling you, if you don't have your bearings, if you don't have your power of discernment trained by the truth of God's word, you're going to get swept up in this Isaiah 5:20 world, where you'll have those in your life saying, this is okay, this is good, this is what everybody does. And we're like, okay, everybody does it, we're good with that, this is what. But it's evil. It's not good. It's like, everybody ever had like pure cocoa? It's nasty. And this comes from a chocolate lover. It's nasty. And they're like, oh, it's good. No, it's nasty. And so you dilute it till you get something that is good. But you know, as soon as you eat cocoa, pure cocoa, like, it's bitter. But yeah, you have that person, it's sweet, isn't it? Like, nope, no, it's not. But you're like, that's what the world is doing to you. It's sweet, isn't it? Like, no. But they do it enough, you're like, well, I guess there's hints of sweet. There's nodes of sweet. I'm like, no, they're not. But yeah, we why? Because we're dull of hearing. We don't understand. We're not excited about the Word of God, and we don't know the true Word of God. So dullness can make you undiscerning, and a lack of discernment can be devastating our world today. So what do? We got to stay sharp. We got to keep serving Christ. We got to keep growing in Christ. Keep growing as we disciple, and we keep discipling other people. You know what the greatest enemy of Christian faith is today in our world? Stagnancy. There's a theological professor, R. Kent Hughes. He said this. He said, the truth is there's simply no such thing as a stagnant Christian. We either move forward or we fall back. We're either climbing or falling. We're either winning or losing. Stagnant or status quo Christianity is a delusion. And on the other side of the equation, the person who keeps growing and never stagnates is a person who is in no danger of abandoning Christ. So how do we battle this dullness of hearing? We stay sharp. We keep growing. We keep moving. We mature. You never grow tired of the truth of the Word of God. We never grow tired of reading what the Word of God says. We develop a hunger for the Word of God. You know what? There was a word that came in our language a lot of people really hate. But in 2016, it made the short list of Word of the Year. How many knows it? Hashtag adulting. Don't you love that? You see it all the time. Like, people put, like, hashtag adulting. Got up this morning, like, I didn't know that was adulting, but okay. You know, hashtag adulting, going to work. Like, okay, I mean, if that's what you say, but this word adulting is taking over the world. Like, I got to be adult today. Well, yeah, you do. I mean, it's not like rocket science here, but according to the Oxford Dictionary, here's what adulting is. It's a practice of behaving in a way characteristic of a responsible adult. Wow. It says, especially the accomplishments of mundane, necessary tasks. Come on. All of you that have these helicopter parents, you want an award for showing up at work at time. It's called adulting. Like, you know, I want a sick day. No, it's called adulting. You know, but we want an award. We want this. We want that. I think the Hebrews writer is saying, we got a lot of these people who are like hashtag adulting all their stuff. You need to stop. In other words, Christian adulting means not being dull of hearing. Christian adulting means being productive as a follower of Christ. Discipling other people as you grow in Christ. That's our mandate. No, I'm going to have coffee, hashtag adulting. I'm going to be a disciple maker today. No, that's your job. Here's the cool thing about, and again, this is our mandate. I just get in my soapbox a minute. We're called to make disciples. And the number one complaint I get about that all the time is like, Pastor, I haven't been to seminary. You know, I can't tell you the 16 fundamentals of the Assembly of God. I can't give you scripture references for that. I just don't know enough. Can I tell you, that's a great thing about discipleship making? Because what it does is when you go, you set up an appointment at coffee, you go, I'm going to go talk to this person about Jesus. Guess what you're going to do all the way up to that meeting? You'll be like, you know, you'll be studying, right? Because you want to know. And so it gets you in the Word of God. Don't you think God knew this when he's like, I want you to make disciples? Why? Because there's pressure on you then, so you know what you're talking about. So you, oh man, I really got to study up. Where was that verse at again? And you start Googling verses, you start highlighting, you start making notes. Why? Because you want to be prepared. And so it helps you, and you're helping somebody else. It's a win-win situation. That's what discipleship means, and that's what we're called to do. That's not, you don't get an award for that. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. If you have Jesus in your heart, that's our calling. I want the worship team to come on up. I need to stop. Christian adulting means mature men and women seeking solid food, not milk. Christian adulting means being discerning and not undiscerning. It means being sensitive and attentive to the truths of God's word. And living it out. It means having our powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Because I will tell you, without a shadow of doubt, there's a lot of messages today in our world that come really close to this. But they change one or two words. Or they don't maybe give Jesus the power that he deserves. He's a good teacher, a good prophet. And we'll listen to some of it and they think, well, that sounds pretty good. We'll go along with that. Problem is, we're dull of hearing. And so we don't discern the difference. When our friends say, well, everybody's doing it. You know, drinking is not a sin. It's not. Everybody's doing it. So if you're dull of hearing, you're like, all right, let's go. It's party time. But you don't see what it's doing to the friends around you that may struggle with addiction. Or may grew up in a family of an abusive parent because of alcohol. think the writer of Hebrews is talking to us today. That maybe when you're first saved, this was awesome, this was great, I want to learn as much as I can. But through the time, after you got your Sunday school pen, after you've been in church for a while, you're like, I'm a mature Christian. I know the stories. And so what we tend to do is we just lay it down and we're like, I know the stories. Become dull of hearing, and in our dullness, we start accepting all these other things that the world's presenting to us as good, and it's not. Oh, that's sweet. No, it's bitter. What the Hebrew writer is telling us, we got to get to the place where we constantly are pouring over. That when you go, when you sleep, when you wake up, when you come back, on the car ride, we talk about this with our kids. At dinner time, we talk about this with our kids. At the job, we talk to our coworkers about this. We start to learn and we start to know the Word of God, and then we're alert when somebody tries to say, oh, this is sweet, no, it's sour. Oh, this is awesome, no, it's dog food. Some of y'all eating dog food right now, like, this is great, it's dog food. It's dog food. We need to be aware this morning. Where are we at with the Lord? Would you stand up with us this morning?